You only get one shot. Open up your Bible. Let's open up to the book of Genesis, chapter 15. Book of Genesis, chapter 15. I sure appreciate everybody coming out. You pray for us, the Lord help us. Genesis chapter number 15. You find that place, you're able. Let's stand together. We'll give reverence to the reading of the Word of God. Genesis chapter number 15. Of course, most of you familiar with this text, but nonetheless, this is where Abraham is having the covenant being reaffirmed to him. I'm going to point out some things just by way of introduction and try to preach some message. Chapter 15, verse number 1. Said, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus? In other words, the only thing that really mattered to Abraham was having that seed. And the Bible says, verse number 4, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that cometh forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. He brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Verse 7, he said, and he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of the Ur of Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. Verse 8 says, and he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Notice verse number 12, the Bible says, when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and an aura of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto him, Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and shall afflict them 400 years. Also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and after shall they come out with great substance. Thou shalt go unto thy fathers in peace, and shalt be buried in good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. Last verse I'll read, verse 17. Said, and it came to pass that when the sun went down, it was dark. And behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp passed between those pieces. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you one more time tonight. God, we're sure thankful to get to be in the house of God. And God, I sure need your help tonight. Father, I want to say everything that you would have me to say. God, you know that there's many things on our mind. And God, if there was ever a time that we came and presented ourselves to preach, and the Lord, with such such anxiety in our heart, Lord, I pray, help us tonight be our prayer. God, I don't want to be a tinkling cymbal or a sounding brass, but God, I want to say everything that you would have me to say. Father, I pray that may the word of God cry out like a trumpet. Father, I pray that you would hide us behind the cross, and to help us, Lord, tonight, that Christ might be magnified, and that God, that we'd all be lowered down. Father, I pray that the saints of God would get help in their hearts tonight. Father, I sure love you. I bless you. I thank you one more time for letting us stand in this place of honor. And to God, I say once again, and Lord, if this is the last time and I ever get to say anything, and God, I sure pray that it be the best thing that I've ever said about you. And Lord, I love you and I thank you. It's in Christ's name I humbly beg and ask. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I'm interested primarily, I want you to notice, that when he comes to this text and when he comes to this place, that Abraham has had a promise that up until this point he has not seen it happen. The Bible said that he even gets to the point, he said, Lord, the only heir that I have in my house is this Eliezer that's of Damascus. He said, I don't got a child, it looks like. And God, that you've forgotten what it is that you said said to me, but the Bible says he has. And God took him out and he said, look now toward the heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse number 17, he takes it even further and he says that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemy. After he does all this for Abraham, Abraham gets down to this point where the Bible says very clearly in verse number 6, he believed in the Lord and he counted it to him for righteousness. There is something to be said, dear neighbor, about taking God at his word. But I want you to notice what he says next. And the very next thing that comes out of his mouth is in verse number 8. He said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? Essentially what you find here in Abraham's life is that Abraham has gotten confirmation or word from God that he has not forgotten his promise. Amen. And let me just assure you tonight, God has never forgot one thing. Amen. And so he's in this place where Abram feels like it's been forgotten about. Abraham feels like his life has been put on the back burner. Abram feels like that every good thing that God has ever said to him, it's no longer going to come to pass. But God assures him one more time that he has not forgotten what he said. I thought about this, thank God, that God gave him a confirmation in the night season of his life. I'm glad God found him in a dark place, and he got him in that dark place, and he said, look up your eyes, and I want you to lift them up toward the heaven. And he said, if you can count the stars, he said, if you can tell me about them, he said, as sure as they're there, that's what your seed will be like. And he is a heavenly seed. And then in Genesis 22, and we find God gave him a promise, and not just in the nighttime, but God gave him a promise in the daytime. He said, look out there when you can't see the stars, and there's sand on the shore. And he said, your seed down here will be more than that. Amen. I got to thinking about this. After everything God done for Abraham, after everything God said to him, he gets down to this place and he says, Lord, how am I going to know that you're really going to do it? Amen. I thought about man alive. I'm sure glad God shows us that they were just flesh like you and I are flesh. Amen. And they dealt with the same problems. And thank God had the same doubts and went through the same discouragements that you and I went through. And they just want the same sort of assurances that you and I want today. I thought about, thank God, ain't it a blessing as we've gathered in the house of God tonight. And no doubt there's things that you've asked the Lord and said, Lord, I'd sure like assurance on this thing or on that. I'll tell you, the only problem sometimes is the way we want to try to find assurance. We're looking for assurances in signs. But I'm telling you, friend, hey, you better be sure, be careful. Those signs will deceive you. Amen. And then I thought about, listen, I've talked to many folk that are looking and they're searching for a sign. But oh, then there's the other kind. And they're searching for a feeling. But I'm telling you, thank God, I am not saved based on a sign. And I ain't saved based on a feeling. Amen. I thank God for it. I'm glad there's times the Holy Ghost that comes passing my way. And they something bubbles up on the inside. And I'm glad I can feel it. But I'll tell you this tonight, if I never feel it again, thank God, I'm as sure as heaven as I am right now. Amen. I'll say this, dear friend. I thank God some look for signs, and some look for senses, and another look for standards. And they just compare themselves amongst themselves. They said, I must be going to heaven. I'm doing better than they're doing, amen. I must be doing right. I'm doing better than they're doing. I'm telling you, listen, standards change, amen. You better be careful at measuring yourself based on standards. And so I thought about this. If God help me for a few minutes of time, to preach on this message. I'm looking for assurance where God said you can find it. Amen. I'm looking for assurance where God said you can find it. I thought, man, it sure be a blessing today. I understand we find assurance in the Word of God. I understand we find assurance by the Spirit of God. But I thought, I wonder where God finds assurance. Where does God send people in the Old Testament? What's it look like? Where is the place where you can find the assurance that you're looking for? And I thought about this. Here's just a few things tonight. I thought we're still looking for assurance. God's going to keep his promises just like he said he would. I'm glad tonight, thank God, there's a place that he's provided that you can be assured in it. I thought about this tonight, and there's the other crowd looking for assurance that God's going to take care of them. I'm sure there's nobody like that tonight. I mean, thank God, you get to looking around and you wonder, is God going to protect me? And that God's got a place where you can find assurance for that. And then I thought about this tonight. And there's that crowd, thank God, that they're wondering if God's going to provide for them. But oh, listen, there's a place you can find that too. And you say, preacher, where is it? And what I'm trying to simply say is this. It looks like to me, if there's a place that Christ could point us to, thank God, I'd want to know where that is. And the preacher quoted this morning, and it says, his ways are higher of our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But all through the scripture, we find over and over again that God points men to the same place. Amen. I thought about this. Watch your Bible. And whenever Abraham asked the question, he said, Lord, how shall I know that I shall inherit it? And the very next text says in verse number 9, and he said unto him, take a heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took all these, and he divided them in the midst, and he laid one piece against each other, but the birds divided he not. And you say, preacher, what is that? I mean, what's the big deal? He took all the sudden, he got a heifer, and he got a ram, and he got a goat, and he got a pigeon. And you say, why would God do something like that? And well, you don't find out until John chapter 8. And the Bible says that Abraham, and thank God, rejoiced and to see my day. And he saw it and he was glad. Amen. And thank God, listen. Hey, you know what God's doing for Abraham right here? He's showing him a type, a place, a foreshadowing of the cross of Calvary. And God didn't just look at me. And God didn't just pick out three or four random animals and say, what about these right here? Oh, no, friend. And the first one he picked out was a heifer of 3 years. And you find over in Numbers 19 that heifer shows forth the cleansing of our sin. And thank God tonight. I'm glad, friend. If you want assurance, and God will keep his promise. There's one place to look, and that place is Calvary. Amen. And you want to know, say, God, are you going to keep your word? And God says, look at Calvary. And look at Calvary. And thank God there's a heifer that shows forth the cleansing of our sin. And then we show forth after that, and there is the ram, and the old ram in Leviticus, and chapter number 5. And thank God we find the heifer is for the cleansing of sin. And we find the ram, his blood is shed for the covering of our sin. And then we find next that there is a goat. And
thank God I'm glad. In Leviticus 16, and you find the old scapegoat. That's where all the nation of Israel came down, and they put their hands on the head of that goat. And thank God them that fit man. That's a type of Christ too, by the way. That old fit man takes that goat, and he takes him out in the wilderness as far away as he can get from where they are. And thank God then we find that there's the old dove, amen. And the old dove, thank God, that's a poor man's offering. And you say, preacher, how does that represent Christ? And that dove was for folks who didn't have any money, amen. And that was for the people that was poor. I'm glad one of my favorite verses, thank God, it's over in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. For you know the riches of Christ, that yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. Amen. And so on the cross of Calvary that day, we find all four wrapped up into one body. I mean, listen to me, man. Don't let this get over your head right here. It's pretty something that God used four different sets to tell the same gospel story in four different ways. If I didn't know any better, I'd think there was going to be four gospels and they were going to tell the same story in four different ways about Christ dying on the cross. Amen. I'm telling you, listen to me, friend. If they got over in that place, and then there's the smoking furnace and the burning lamps, and on one side on Calvary, and you see the wrath of God and how it burns brightly, and on the other side of Calvary, and we see the love of God and how perfect that it is, and you can't look at Calvary and without understanding that God is a God of wrath. And at the same time, and you can't look at Calvary and without understanding that God is a God of love. Amen. And thank God. And you say, preacher, what happened? On that day, mercy and truth met each other right in one place. And thank God, friend. And you understand that God had to be just and the justifier of those that would believe. And the only way he could do both was there had to be a place where God's love was extended at the same time God's wrath was satisfied. And to thank God, I know where that place is. And listen, you get over there on Calvary and you start looking and you're reminded of the fact that if he didn't spare his own son, thank God, shall he not with him freely give us all things. I'm telling you, what a blessing that it is to stand tonight knowing, if you've got any doubts about God keeping his word, just cast your eyes to Calvary and you'll find God's answer over and over again. God has never not kept his word. Amen. Oh, yes. There's a lot of folks, Abraham, he stands in that place and he said, God, how am I going to know that you're going to keep your word? And God painted him a picture. He showed him Calvary. And you said, preacher, why would he do that? And thank God, Abraham had two promises. He had an earthly seed. And that's the nation of Israel. And that's that sand on the shore. And thank God they are going to inherit a land. And I don't care who likes it or who don't. Amen. I mean, thank God, listen. Have them old Palestinians, they can cry from the land to the sea. Thank God, Palestine shall be free. But I'm telling you, there'll come a day there'll not be one Palestinian on that land right there that belongs to Israel. God will see to it that they have ever been. Amen. Oh, yes, dear friend. But we get in that place. He's got that promise of the sand on the shore. And then God says there's also not just an earthly promise, but thank God there's a heavenly promise. And the book of Galatians, he says, and not to seeds whereof there are many, but to seed whereof there's just one. If there tonight you're born again, you're of the same faithful seed of that of Abraham. I say thank God tonight. If you ever wonder if God's going to do what he said he would, God's answer back to you is look at Calvary. Amen. That's right there. I thought about, thank God, Abraham got to see it, and that was his assurance. That's where he found assurance. How was he just cast his eyes and just forward a few thousand years, and he said, there's going to come a Messiah. And you say, preacher, there's no way he knew a Messiah was coming. All I know is this. If you get to, this ain't the message, but I feel the Holy Ghost, so I'm going to preach while I'm here, all right? And thank God, I'll tell you what I think about it. And there was a time he told Sarah, he said, I'm going to visit you again after the time of that season. And he said, you're going to bring forth a child. And the Bible says Sarah laughed. And she said, shall I have pleasure when I'm old? But thank God something happened in the next chapter. I'll tell you what I think, Julie. I'll tell you. And you take this for what I think. I think she went to bed one night. Preacher, I think she is gray-headed. I think she had wrinkles everywhere. I think she's been over and crippled up. And I think the next day, when she got up out of the bed, Abraham said, oh my. He said, I don't know what happened. He said, honey, you're 90 years old, and you look like you're 20 again. And you say, preacher, you ain't got no proof of that. Oh, I think we do, amen. I think you keep looking over there in chapter 20. And the last time I checked, I never have seen the king of Egypt look down and to look over and look at a 90-year-old woman and say, man, she's pretty, amen. And you're talking about the king of Egypt that has his pick of everybody. He looks out yonder and he sees somebody prettier than anybody he's ever seen. He said, I'd like to have her for my wife. And that old Abraham and Brother Jordan, 100 years old, and you know what they found out? I believe Sarah looked back at Abraham and said, honey, I don't know what just happened. I said, you look like a strong man again. Oh, yes. And you say, preacher, why do you think that? And the Bible says that he was out sporting with his wife, Sarah. And you say, what's the big deal? And what the big deal is that God gave him an immaculate conception. And God let them bring forth a child. And thank God. And where the womb was dead and the promise was over. But there was a God in heaven that had not forgotten what he said. Amen. I'm telling you, thank God. Abraham standing there that day, his wound was dead, or her wound was dead, his body was dead. But we've got proof in the Word of God. It said Abraham considered not the deadness of her womb, nor the deadness of his body. Don't nobody get too excited. But I'll tell you, God reaches down and touches Abraham so good that even after Sarah dies, Abraham has a whole bunch more kids. Amen. How you say, how'd that happen? How God turned back the clock. I'm glad, listen, everybody look up here at me. When it comes to the promises of God, how God is on nobody's time, amen, except for his own. Thank God. How you look up at Calvary and to find that it's that way. And then I got to thinking about this. How when it comes to the assurance of his protection, how can God watch over me? How can God keep me? Is there any proof of that? Thank God we've got Noah. And listen, you remember where Noah was in Genesis 6:8? But Noah found grace in the eyes of God. And do you remember what he done for him there? He put him on an ark, amen. And you say, preacher, what's the big deal about the ark? Hey, you know what God showed him? He showed him Calvary again, amen. He showed him Calvary again. And you say, how's that boat? It looked like Calvary. Oh, in many ways. First of all, thank God, it was the idea of God. Amen. And we find in Jonah 2 that salvation is of the Lord. Amen. He put him on a boat. There was one way. And there was one door. And there was three levels. Thank God, y'all ain't helping me right there. Thank God, thank God. I got on there, and when he got on, he got shut in. Amen. Let me remind you this. Preacher was preaching this morning, and I thought, hot dogs, hot dogs. Amen. He got to preaching about the wrath of God. I'm glad to say this to you. And the wrath of God was all around Noah. And the wrath of God was poured out on the ark. Amen. I mean, thank God the waves beat against it. And the winds blowed against it. But everybody on the inside was doing just fine. Amen. And to thank God out yonder on Calvary. Hey, good neighbor. I mean, God bruised it. And God beat him. Thank God. All the wrath of God, Chase, that was poured out on the Son of God that day. But thank God for those that are in Christ Jesus. I mean, listen, good friend, as far as I can tell, Noah never did feel the first raindrop on his forehead. And not one ounce of wrath ever got poured out on him because he got in the boat. And thank God, listen. And you say, preacher, I wish there was a way we could get in. Hey, you remember they said there on that boat. This is probably, listen, I'm probably telling you too much. But I ain't preached in a while, so you get what you get, all right? Hey, you remember whenever they built that boat, what they said? They said, you pitch it within and without. Thank God, with pitch, amen. There's pitch on the inside. There's pitch on the outside. And it was that pitch that kept the wrath out, amen. Oh, I like that word pitch. But that's not what we call it in the New Testament. It's not the word pitch. It's the word atonement. Amen. Thank God. Same word. In the Old Testament, pitch. And that kept the wrath of God out. It's the atonement in the New Testament. And that keeps the wrath of God away from my soul. And you want to know how I know I'm safe? It's because of the atonement of Christ, amen. Oh, yes, listen. Hey, it's the wrath of God that was around me. But I thought about, what about the wrath of God that was on me? How do I know God's going to keep me saved? In Exodus chapter 12, how we found when the death angel was going to pass over and the wrath of God was going to fall. And guess what God gave them? Hey, thank God as assurance that he would take care of them. He gave them the picture of Calvary. He said, go get a lamb. Hey, y'all know the story, the lamb, a lamb, your lamb. And thank God, he said, go get that lamb. He said, get him on the 10th day. And to watch over him for 4 days. And when you search him for 4 days, and make sure there ain't no faults or blemishes. And you say, preacher, what's the big deal about that? And, oh, they got Christ there. And on that 4th day, for 4 days, and they searched over it. Judas searched over it. He said he was innocent. And Pilate searched over him. Herod searched over him. And God in heaven searched over him. And they all searched it. And they all came to the same conclusion. He was the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. And they, for the 14th day, thank God, that Passover day, and they slew that lamb. And they put it up there. And thank God, on the doorposts and on the lintels. And when you make that same striking motion, it's the motion of the cross. And you know what they were showing them there? How do you get away from the wrath of God? How that's on your soul. And thank God, God shows you Calvary. Calvary, Calvary, Calvary. He shows you Calvary. And you say, I need assurance of the promises. And God said, have you looked at Calvary? He said, you need assurance of protection. And God says, have you looked at Calvary? If you want assurance, that's one place to look, that one place to consider, that one place, thank God, to rest on. That's why Paul said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, I'm telling you, thank God. God showed them Calvary. But what about the wrath of God in you? I had the wrath of God around me. I had the wrath of God on me. But I was born in iniquity. I had the wrath of God in me. And you say, preacher, what'd you do for that? And thank God. Listen, you know what they done for that yonder? In Numbers chapter 21, you find that they all had the wrath of God in them. And they all got bit by the same fiery serpent. And God showed them a picture. He said, hey, Moses. He said, go get you a staff. And he said, put that brazen serpent on it. And he said, and raise that serpent up. And he said, and whosoever shall look thereon, they shall live. Amen. I've got good news for you. You say, preacher, how does that serpent represent Christ? It's he who knew no sin and became sin. Thank God, thank God. On that day, that shows the judgment. And whenever the judgment was lifted up, how you and I are reminded that the chastisement of our peace was upon him. Amen. And thank God, God bruised him and God broke him. And this, listen, friend, I mean, God punished his own son. How that you and I, all we got to do is look and live. Amen. I'm glad God made it easy. Amen. Oh, yes, let me say this. Could I tell you tonight how that there was 8 people got on the boat, and that there was 8 people got off the boat. And God didn't lose 1/8 of a person. Amen. And thank God. And whenever they put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintels, there was not one child in the house of Israel that died. And in the house of Egypt, there was not one house that didn't have somebody dead. How could I tell you, every person that looked at the old brazen serpent, how the Bible said every one of them lived. And I don't read where they got sick again. Amen. And thank God, listen, I'm saying this, every person that's ever got in Christ has still is in Christ. Amen. You ain't got to worry about it. That's where you find your assurance. You don't find your assurance in senses. You don't find it in signs. You don't find it in standards. And God said, look at Calvary. Amen. I thought about this tonight. Here's where you and I, most of us, live at. That's to say, but how do I know that God's going to take care of me? I mean, I believe God's going to take care of his promises, don't you? I mean, I believe every promise God ever made. And I'm going to be honest with you, I ain't never had a problem doubting him. Amen. I believe he's coming just like he said he was. I believe it could be any day just like he said it would be. I believe everything God ever said concerning his promise. And I ain't never even doubted. I ain't never doubted God wouldn't protect me. Amen. Listen, don't nobody get too excited. But over in Scott County, we ain't got the first Free Will Baptist Church. I don't know not one person that's a Baptist that believes you can lose your salvation. I didn't even know there was anybody that thought that until I came to Fentress County, Tennessee. And then I thought, I don't know what happened over here. But thank God, I'm glad somewhere between here and there, we all got to keep what we had. Amen. Thank God. Amen. Amen, good neighbor. Amen. I'm glad, thank God. I've never had a problem. I've never had to correct that doctrine. I've always believed what God said. Amen. I've always believed everlasting was everlasting. I've always believed eternal was eternal. I've always believed forever was forever. I didn't think eternal meant 40 years. I didn't think everlasting meant 10. I didn't think forever meant for a few minutes. I believe what God done it right. And God done it forever. Amen. I believe God's the author of eternal salvation. I believe everything he doeth it well. I believe every person he ever has known, he still does know. And I believe at the white throne judgment, he tells them, I never knew you, amen. I believe everything God said, amen. Just as he said it. So I ain't never had a problem with that, thank God. I'm going to say this to you. I do have a problem sometimes wondering if God's going to help me from day to day. This is the meat of the message. It'll be a 5-minute message and I'll be done. Or it might be a 50-minute and I'll be to be continued. I don't know just yet. But I'm saying this to you tonight. I've never wondered about God's promises. I've never wondered about God's protection. But from time to time, I'll get to wondering about my day-to-day living and say, God, are you going to take care of me again today? God, are you going to take care of me again today? I'm walking through a wilderness. And when you're walking through a wilderness, sometimes you try to figure out, God, where's my water going to come from? God, where's my meal going to come from? God, where's my shelter going to come from? Don't act like I'm the only person in here ever wonders that. Don't listen, y'all. I'll start acting like that, and then I'll know it, so I'm going to have to change the message and preach online. Amen. Thank God. Listen, everybody under the sound of my voice goes through seasons or times where you think, God, have you forgot about us? But I thought about what the Bible said in Exodus 15. And when they take the children of Israel out and they lead them up to the waters of Marah, and the Bible said, and they could not drink the waters because they were bitter, amen. And Moses cried out to God. And he said, God, what are we going to do? And these waters are bitter. How you know we need water? And thank God we got to have it. And we can't do without it. And we ain't got none. And what are we going to do? And the Bible records, God showed him a tree, amen. God, and listen, I wish I could preach a little better than what I am. But I can't make it any plainer than I know how. Amen. God said, you need to know if I'm going to take care of you from day to day. If I took care of your eternity on the cross of Calvary, you can rest assured I'll take care of you day by day. Amen. God said, there it is. God said, and then they got on down there, Brother Peel. Got to wandering out in the wilderness. Didn't have no water. Couldn't find no watering hole. Didn't know where it was going to come from. God said, hey, out yonder's a rock. He said, hey, Moses, here's what you do. Go smite the rock. Guess what that's a picture of? Guess what God showed him? Amen. Guess what God showed him? He said, look at Calvary. Thank God you go yonder up to Calvary. You'll find they took that spear, pierced him in the side. Forthwith came out blood and water. Amen. That's the fountain that we're all washed in. That's the fountain that we're sanctified in. Hey, thank God that's the place. And God showed them Calvary. And when they got hungry, he said, God, what are we going to do for food? And guess what God done? He rained down something they had never seen before. A little manna is what they called it. He said, preacher, how is manna a type of Calvary? Well, listen, number one, it came from heaven. It was pure. It was round, and it lay on the ground where everybody could get a hold of it. Amen. Look up here at me, thank God. Have some of you staring at me like I got four heads. I'm still in the place that I pastor, I think. Amen. I'm telling you this, good neighbor. And you say, preacher, what makes it a type of Calvary? You remember what man done to it? Have man gathered it up? Have man smashed it together? Have man beat it down? And that's what man done to manna. Amen. And whenever the manna first got here, have man loved it. But by the end of it, a man loathed it. And they hated it, amen. And thank God. But nonetheless, God still provided manna for whosoever will, whether they liked it or not. And that's why I ain't a Calvinist, amen. Hey, whoever wanted to go get it, and they could get it, amen. That's right. God said, hey, y'all wondering if I'm going to take care of you from day to day? Right. And every single day.
Yep.
on the ground. Every day but one, God put on the ground a picture of Calvary. You want to know if God's going to take care of you, really? I mean, we can come in this place. Listen, we can try to figure out if God's going to keep His word, if God's going to do what He said, if God loves us the way He said He does, if God cares for us the way He said He will, yep. If God's going to provide for us, if God's going to take care of our families, God's going to take care of our futures, God's going to take care of our past, God's going to take care of our prayers. We're trying to figure out all these things. We're looking for signs. God, I'd like to have a sign you're going to help me. God, I'd like to feel a sense that you're going to help me. God, I wish there'd be a standard you're going to help me. And over and over and over again in the Old Testament, what God does to show them and give them assurance is He shows them a picture of Calvary. And then guess what happens in the New Testament? We don't have pictures and shadows. We've got the real thing. And so the entire New Testament is spent with everybody looking back and saying, look at Calvary. And look at Calvary. And Paul says, look at Calvary. And John says, look at Calvary. And Peter says, look at Calvary. Luke says, look at Calvary. And if you need help and assurance, look at Calvary. Amen. And if Calvary don't leave you walking out of this place saying, man, God's going to take care of me. It don't matter what sign or sense you have. You're going to leave here doubting every time. But if you'll ever just settle your heart in Calvary. Just look at Calvary. Say, man alive, if God done that for me. I believe He done it for me, don't you? What more assurance do I need? I'm done preaching. Stand to your feet. I'm done. Whoever, Alyssa, come. Get you a song. I'll kick that speaker back where it goes. Brother Donnie, whoever's going to come. I don't know you. I don't know where you stand at today. But I'm saying this to you simply. If you're in that place where there's questions arising in your heart and you're needing confirmation, it don't come from signs and wonders. It comes from the Scripture and Calvary. Look at Calvary. Look at Calvary. Look at Calvary. They sing whatever song they're going to sing. Listen, I don't know your heart, you don't know mine. But whatever God's doing in yours, just look at Calvary. God help us tonight.